The shiur we've been given, first of all, thank you to Danielle always to open up the bias. It should be a schus for her and her whole family. The shiur we've been given, a monthly shiur, Le'ilu Nishmas, Chayrezel and Gabi's mother, Chana Bela Ephra Bas Moshe. And this shiur in particular, I think this timing is something very special. This, by the next shiur already, will be the shiur of the Yahrzeit, Bezus Hashem. And just recently, 1 week ago, was when Gabi and Chayrezel's brothers stopped saying Kaddish for their mother. Was we stopped saying Kaddish a month before the Yahrzeit, after 11 months of Avelus is up. So one would think, what is that all about? So I'll tell you that I believe deeply that therefore this man, this time now, over this last month of Avelus, is a very different type of Avelus than the first 11 months. And it's where we could start, hopefully we started in some ways already, but really, really begin to look back completely with memories of Simcha and completely be able, with that Emunah Bitachon we spoke about a few moments ago, to be able to move on with our lives, never forgetting Chana Beil Efrat in a special way, but with a little less of the sadness, in a sense. And there'll be times, obviously, and it's very normal to be sad at times, but ultimately to move on with different, only beautiful, simchadik memories, and to continue to internalize those into our lives. Why now, specifically? Because if you understand what is the idea of stopping to say Kaddish after 11 months... So I'm going to just give a little bit of a very broad overview of it, and that is that the Kaddish is a little bit of what we've been doing here once a month. The Kaddish is supposed to be Le'ilu Nishmas, that individual, and to help the Neshama up in Shemayim continue to rise in Shemayim. But specifically when... So Ein Tzadik Bar Chol Yechta. Chana Beil Efrat was the Tzadikis, as we've spoken about before, a very, very special person in so many ways. At the same time, there's no individual that ever graces this world that doesn't do some wrong. Ein tzaddik bar shel yechta. Therefore, there needs to be some cleansing process up in Shemayim. There needs to be some stop in that place that we hope not to spend too long. The longest, and this is obviously deep ideas, al pi Kabbalah, the longest one would ever need as a cleansing process before entering Gan Eden and Olam HaEmes, where you want to be, is 1 year. But we assume that there is no yid, that's such a rasha that needs an entire year. So up to 11 months, we say the Kaddish. Three times a day we're saying Kaddish to enhance and help the neshama up in Shemayim who may still need that help to enter into Gan Eden. But at the end of the 11 months, we know 100%, we're sure that the neshama of Chana Beil Efrat is in Gan Eden, b'simcha rabba, b'tanig of the Rabbo Nishlam, with the pleasures of God in the deepest of ways that we can't even imagine. With that idea, with that thought, now, I personally believe she's been there a long time. I personally believe she's been there a long time. But now we're completely assured. And therefore this last month should be with a different sense of looking back and a different memory, understanding and believing that she's in the Olam HaEmes, Gan Eden, with tanig that we can't even comprehend, with pleasures that we can't even comprehend, being close to Ribbono Shalom, and therefore even more koyach to be a meilita yosher for us to bring and to daven on our behalf. And Amir Tashem, her family should have complete nechama. And Amir Tashem, we should only internalize kedusha and bracha and everything that we learned from her. And again, at the same time, all the Torah we learned should be lila nishmasa, should be a big schus for a neshama. So we were speaking before about the matzav in Eretz Yisrael. None of us could go moments in a day without at least thinking about the matzav in Eretz Yisrael. Our brothers and sisters, the Heilige Yidden, that have the amazing schus to live in Eretz Yisrael, but have to fear walking the streets of Eretz Yisrael, the streets of Yerushalayim. And the question I want to discuss now and tonight and with us together is what should be and what can be our response from thousands of miles away. What are we supposed to be doing? Besides for feeling the pain of our brothers and sisters, besides for being empathetic, What's our avoida during this very difficult time for all of Klal Yisrael? What should we really be doing? I have a Talmud the other day who told me that he's a Talmud in high school, and he had, and still has, but you understand why he used the word had, tremendous aspirations to join the Israeli army. After learning in yeshiva first, but he'd like to join the Israeli army, the IDF. I happen to have many Talmidim of the years that served in the IDF. I have Talmidim now that are serving in the IDF. But, and I personally think it's tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. I look up to every one of those Talmidim as a role model, to be willing to sacrifice literally your life for Klal Yisrael, to protect Klal Yisrael. Each and every one of us that have spent so much of our lives in Eretz Yisrael, we only have this chus to walk the streets of Eretz Yisrael, to daven in the Kotel, because each and every one of those soldiers. Again, it's not, at the same time, it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. But it's something very special. So this Talmud of mine had aspirations, and still has aspirations to serve in the IDF, and he discussed it with the Rav of his family. And the Rav of his family told this Talmud that, this was a few weeks ago, prior to what's going on in Eretz Yisrael right now, but I think what's going on in Eretz Yisrael now proves, you'll understand in a moment. The Rav felt that today, in today's day and age, much of the army is taken over by technology, by computers, missiles, and there's not as much hand-to-hand combat, and therefore this Rav believes not as much a need for foot soldiers, not as much a need for as many bodies serving in the IDF, and told the Talmud he thinks more important he should sit and learn that time, whatever he would have been serving, sit and learn Torah as long as he can, and the Torah will be a big shmirah and have more of a help than the actual fighting in these days. Now, I'm not going to get into right now what I feel about that. I'm not so sure I agree, to be honest. I'm not so sure that I agree just with the facts of the Rav. I don't particularly claim to know for sure I'm right, but I'm pretty sure there's tremendous need for many foot soldiers. I'm pretty sure that if you don't have actual bodies protecting everywhere in Eretz Yisrael, that we can't walk the streets of Eretz Yisrael. We see in action every one of these Kaddishdik Yidden protecting Eretz Yisrael. So I'm just not so sure he has the facts right, to be honest. That's what I'm not so sure. I do agree, no question, that sitting and learning Torah is a tremendous shmir of Eretz Yisrael, just as much so, but there needs to be that synthesis, and that's why it depends on the boy, it depends on the person, whether you should be joining the army or not, or you should be learning Torah. I'm not going to get into right now that discussion and that debate and that. To me, they're both very, very special. That's for sure. But one thing I do know, after hearing the Talmud and hearing the psak of that particular Rav, one thing I do know is that for us sitting here, who obviously can't and won't be serving in the IDF, and won't be physically protecting Eretz Yisrael, what I do know, there is only one way for us to help and protect Eretz Yisrael, through Torah mitzvahs. And we have to believe 100% that that does help. That when we dedicate ourselves to Torah mitzvahs, to tefillah, to Torah, to gemilas chesed, it's a shmira for Eretz Yisrael. We have to believe in our kolchos, we have to believe in our abilities, and believe be'emes, be'emes, that we have the abilities to make to affect Eretz Yisrael, to make a change in Eretz Yisrael from here, from Chutz La'aretz, in our avodas Hashem. You know, my son said the other day, and my son is someone very, very deep and very, very special, and he believes this, that he thought maybe this part, obviously, he's a little bit crazy, but he was reading a book over Sukkot, son of Hamas. This book is about a child of one of the big Hamas leaders who ended up, you know, coming out all against Hamas, I believe, and was a spy for Eretz Yisrael, I believe. I'm not sure all the details. I didn't read it. But he was reading the book, and part of the book also talks about how some of Hamas is not so bad. I'm not sure exact details, but he felt, reading that book, that he thought that had an effect and was bringing tragedy to Eretz Yisrael. He really took it upon himself. And then he's been davening, and he's been going to shul like for a half hour before Ma'ariv, saying Tehillim, mamish. And then one night specifically, he went for a long time to say Tehillim, and the next day things, Baruch Hashem, that next day was, I think, 2 days ago, and like things were a lot better than the days before, and he felt like, okay, Bez Hashem, hopefully it's having an effect. I don't know what my son's effect on Eretz Yisrael is at all. I don't know. I do know that reading the book had nothing to do with this, that's for sure. And I know he knows that also. I think he was just talking. Well, I'm not so sure. But I do believe deeply that his Tehillim has an effect on what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. I really believe that. To what extent, I have no idea. I'm not God. But I do believe it has an effect. And I think we have to believe that, each and every one of us. And when we hear about what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, our avodah is to change the situation. So I'm not prime minister, and I'm not going to have an effect on the government, but I can have an effect on someone much greater than the prime minister, the Rabbeinu Shalom's decisions of how he's ruling this world, through my avodah Hashem. We have to believe in our kolchos. And I believe the message is learned from this week's parsha. When you open up the parsha, we all know this parsha. We all know all these parshiyos. It's so beautiful to start Sefer Bereishis and know the storylines and know last week creation of the world and Adam and Chava and Cain and Hevel. And open up this week. We all know about Noach and we know about Shem, Cham and Yafes and we know about the Mabel. It's nice. But by the way, it's very important to continue to learn these parshiyos in depth. And not chas v'sholom to rely on our knowledge of a nursery, kindergarten level of the parashas, because we have a broad overview of what happened. There's so much depth and there's so many lessons. We have to continue to grow in our connection to Torah. It's something very, very important that sometimes we forget. So, yeah, I'll spend time learning Hilchos Shabbos, Bishul, and Amir Lakum that I never really learned well, but I'm not going to open up a Sefer Bereishis. Been there, done that. Torah is not like math. You never again have to go back to simple addition and learn 1 plus 4 equals 5. You're never again have to study that. You know it, it's ingrained in you, finished, you move on. When it comes to Torah, we never could understand it enough. We can never understand the depth. Every word is Shivim Panam Torah, the deepest of deep. So it's important, specifically these weeks, when we are familiar on some level, to continue to learn, continue to pick up a different Rishon, pick up a different Mefarish, pick up a different Sefer, whatever it might be, and have a new depth into the Parashia. And continue to be inspired by the words of our God. So in the Parashia of Noach, in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, there's a very famous Rashi. The Pasuk says, Vayavo Noach ubanov ishtu nesheivanov ito al ateva. Noach, his sons, his wife, the wives of his sons, they all went with him into the Teva. Mipnei mehamabel. Because of the waters of the Mabel. And basically Rashi picks up that they went in and they made a Mabel, meaning they didn't go in prior. They knew the Mabel was about to come. They didn't go in until the Mabel basically pushed them in to the Teva. And Rashi there says, very famous Rashi, which is a difficult Rashi to swallow, Af Noach mikatne amunah haya. Noach was someone who had a very small level of amunah. Mikatne Amuna. I'm just reading Rashi. I wouldn't be able to say this if Rashi didn't say it. Mamin veino mamin. He believed and he didn't really believe. Shiyavu Amabel. Like he believed on one level, he didn't fully believe the Mabel would come. V'lo nichlas l'teva. Therefore, he didn't enter the teva ad shidachku hamayim, until the waters pushed him in. Our parsha opened up. Eila told Noach, Noach is tzaddik tomim hoya b'dorosav. He was a tzaddik tomim. He was a tzaddik and he was perfect. He was pure. And yes, there's a Rashi at the beginning, very famous Rashi, that learns that in two ways. Does that mean he was such a great tzaddik that even that if he was in a dar, shilu hayabidar tzaddikim hayat tzaddik yoser, and he would have been even so much greater if he lived in the dar of tzaddikim, or yesh dar shalom al-kunai, there's almost say he was a tzaddik. But if he would have been in the Dar of Avram, he wouldn't have been thought of so great. Compared to his generation, he was a tzaddik. But regardless of that Rashi, the Torah tells us, Ish tzaddik tamim yeh b'dor Yosef. That same Noach, such a tzaddik, Rashi is going to tell us, and it's based on a medrash, that he was mekatne amuna. What does that mean? That he didn't have so much amuna? Amuna is yesoid shib soidus. The foundation of all foundations. Anoich Hashem al-kecha shesichem ezraim, the first of the Sarah's Adubros. All else was only built off Amunah. There's a famous shita of the Bahag, the Baal Lachos Gedolos. He doesn't count the moon as one of the 613 mitzvahs, strangely. Why not? The Ramban says, because you can't just count the moon as one of the 613. It's the foundation of all 613. So he doesn't count it as one of the 613, because it's part and parcel of every mitzvah. Why am I davening? Because I believe in Hashem. Why am I dressing in a tznius way? Because I believe in Hashem. Why am I keeping Shabbos? Because I believe in Hashem. So it's a chelik of every single mitzvah. So it's bigger than any one mitzvah. I can't just count it as one of the 613. And that same concept, which is Yisod Shivzodos, he was Makatne, Amunah, Mamin, Beno, Mamin, he believed, but he didn't really believe. Noach, he's Tzaddik, the whole world exists only because of Noach. We're only here because of Noach. He rebuilt the whole world. But he's Makatne, Amunah. What's his pshat? What's pshat? So comes along the Berditchever, the Heiliger of Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, whose yahrzeit was last week, Chaf Hei Tishrei, if I'm not mistaken. So the Heiliger Berditchever explains as follows. He says there are two types of tzaddikim. There's a tzaddik, or tzaddikas, that understands deeply not just what it means to serve God, and not just what it means to follow the will of God and believe in God, but also understands their kochos. Also understands how when they learn, when they daven, when they do mitzvahs, they're having an effect on the whole world. And they have the power to change the world. To change other people. To change the chef of the Rabbonu Shalom in the world. And they believe in that and understand that. You know, the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhin, in the first shahr of the first parak in the Sefer, it's an amazing mamish, an amazing sefer, if you haven't learned Nefesh HaChaim. And there he explains that what does it mean from last week's parsha that we were created B'Tzelem Elokim, in the image of God? What does that mean? You ever think about it? What does that mean? You've all heard that phrase. You're created in B'Tzelem Elokim. Does God have an image? Does God have an image? God have any physical character? We sometimes in the Torah, we give him physical representation just so we could understand. But obviously God has no image. So what does it mean? We're B'Tzelem Elokim. What does that mean? And how could we, on any level, are we closely connected to God? We're B'Tzelem Elokim within us. That's Mamish Chelek Elokim Amal. That's Mamish God within us. But our whole essence, our whole being, our goof as well, is B'Tzelem Elokim. What does that mean? What does it mean? So Nefesh HaChaim, it's interesting. It's B'Tzelem Elokim. There are a lot of names of God. Why is B'Tzelem Elokim? Why not B'Tzelem Shakai? B'Tzelem Hashem? Yudkei Vavkei? B'Tzelem Kel? He says, Elokim, says the deep meaning of Elokim is the representation of Hashem that's in charge of the whole world, rules over the world, and changes the whole world, basically, whenever need be. Whatever, he's in control of everything happening in the world, basically. Baal kochos kulos. In control of everything. He created us, B'Tzelem Elokim, Nefesh HaChaim explains, and others as well, means he gave over to us that control. God, what makes him master of the universe, not just that he built the world and created the world, he can constantly recreate it, constantly, and he affects everything in this world. He gave that over to us. How so? He gave over to us the ability that through our ma'asim, if we do everything that's good, there's like a chain reaction. Imagine when we do ma'asim tovah, you do a mitzvah, you learn a piece of Torah, you daven, whatever it might be, you have Mesiras Nefesh to act in a particular way when it's hard. It's hard sometimes. We live in secular societies and we have hashbah from people and you push yourself to go above and beyond, whatever it might be. That sends up a tremendous chain to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and in return he sends back to this world shefa and bracha based on my actions. He says there as well. You think, he's talking about Churban Beis HaMikdash, and we can apply it to today in Eretz Yisrael. He says, you think Titus, you think Nebuchadnezzar had the ability to destroy Beis HaMikdash? We destroyed Beis HaMikdash. Our actions destroyed Beis HaMikdash. They can't do anything based on our actions, because of Gilrash, Chazam, and Avzara, Sinuskina, whatever all the different things were, we sent up the opposite waves to heaven, which therefore sent down that this is what should happen. You think an Arab has the ability to kill one Jew? Not one. we have to believe in our kochos and our abilities. We have to believe in our kochos. We have to believe in our avodah. We have to believe in Torah and mitzvos and the kochos that we have. Not just that we're following Torah and mitzvos. Shkoyach, I know I do it because I'm supposed to, because God asked me to, because I believe in God. But we have to believe in how powerful that is. So he says there's something you can believe in that. As the Gemara Moed Katan Daf Tazayin Mabeh says, Tzadik Goizer V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Makayim. A tzaddik is goyzer, decrees something, and Hashem decides and follows suit. So it is when you go to a tzaddik and you can give a bracha, and it can have an effect on this world. And we as well, we're tzaddikim, we're tzaddikas, we have the ability through our actions, through our meisim, through our tefillah, through our learning, through whatever it is, to affect this world. We have to believe that. He says the Berditchim, but there are other tzaddikim, they're tzaddikim. They do beautiful ma'aseh tovim. They follow the will of God. They learn. They daven. But they have a little too much anivus. A little too much humility. Anivus, humility, is the most beautiful midah one can have. But there are people that have too much anivus, too much humility, and they're too humble. And what that means is they don't believe in themselves, and they don't believe in their kochos, and they think, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, but I don't have the koach to change anybody else. And I don't have the koch to change this world. I just do what I'm supposed to do. We are constantly comparing Avram and Noach. Avram was changing the world. Avram was Mashpia on the world. He was Geyer, hundreds of Geyerim, teaching Torah throughout the world, teaching about God throughout the world. Everyone who comes to his doorstep, and Noach changed a total of zero people. He had 120 years to change the world. Changes nobody. Is mashpia on nobody. Why not? Because he didn't believe in himself. He didn't believe in his ability to. He didn't believe in his kochos. That's what it means, perhaps, Berditchev explains. That's what it means when Rashi tells us, Noach mikat ne'amuna haya. Not that he didn't have mamuna in Hashem. He didn't have mamuna in himself. He didn't have a moon in his abilities. He didn't have a moon in his abilities to change the world, to change people. So he did everything he was supposed to be doing. He did whatever God asked him to do, but that's it. And therefore, what does it mean? He didn't think the Mabul will come. You know why he didn't think the Mabul will come? He says, if he didn't, he thought so, he didn't think so highly of himself. So if God's saying, I'm going to save the world for me, there are plenty of other people just like me. He didn't think so. He didn't understand where he was holding it all. Then God probably won't really destroy the world. Mekadne Amun, he didn't believe in himself. And therefore, the Zohar says, based on a pasuk in Yeshaya, that calls the waters of the Mabul, the Mei Noach, the waters of Noach, the whole Mabul occurred because of Noach. Because he actually had the ability to save the world. Which makes sense. Why else would God give him all that time to see what would happen? He should have destroyed the world immediately. He gave him time to try to be mashpia on the world, to try to change the course of the world, to try to change people. But Noach was mekat ne'amuna. We all know that famous medrash that he was bitten by the lion. He was bitten by the lion, the Ber Moshe. Rav Moshe Yechiel Epstein explains, the lion is the king, the lion is gvura, strength. The lion has all the belief in his koichis. So who's Noach going to be bitten by? The lion. You have to say, come on, you should have been a little bit more like me. Noach didn't believe in himself. There's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Vayigba libo b'darche Hashem. We have to lift up our hearts. Vayigba, lift up our hearts, was anivus. Yes, we have anivus. We have anivus, humility compared to other people. We have humility in not thinking that we're so great in what we're doing because we're just fulfilling what we're supposed to be doing in this world. But as far as believing in the kochos and the power of Torah mitzvos and the ability to try to mashpi on others, mashpi on this world, vayig balivo b'darach Hashem. B'darach drush, you could say that's what the Mishnah Novos means. Asei l'charav. So most asei l'charav. Make for yourself a Rebbe. It's very important to have a Rebbe. It's very important to have role models. It's very important to have people that you can call for psak halacha, for eitzah. Everybody should have somebody in their life that they can call any moment. of the simplest shilohs or the deepest shilohs, whatever it might be. You have to have Rebbeim in your life to go to, and you have to have Rebbeim to look at his role models. It's very, very important. I say lecha Rav, but maybe I say lecha Rav also. What does Rav mean? Rav is a Rebbe, but Rav also means great. I say lecha Rav, make yourself great. Recognize how great you are. Recognize your kolchos. Recognize that we can change the world. And we're sitting here in America, and we're thousands of miles away, and every one of us, our heart is with Eretz Yisrael, and we might be shedding tears, but are we doing enough? And we have to believe in our kolchos. So are we, maybe late at night, sitting by our bed when we regularly would go to sleep and say an extra 20 minutes of Tehillim over these last couple weeks, or starting right now. Or maybe as I took upon myself we started Sefer Bereishis and I have it in the past, to learn Chumash Rashi all of Sefer Bereishis. Now I'm going to go through all of Chumash Rashi Sefer Bereishis because of the schus of a Shmir of Eretz Yisrael. Or maybe I'm going to take upon some chumrah and tznias that I haven't been doing, and it's Allah, I'm good. It's a chumrah, but for what? For the yidden in Eretz Yisrael. Whatever does it for you. It's not about. We have 613 ways to do it, but we have to believe in the koyches of these ways, the koyches of Torah, the koyches of mitzvos, and therefore believe in ourselves, believe in our abilities to change the course of what's going on in the world. There's a famous story of Rav Gifter Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Telz. I'm sure you all heard the story, but I think about the story a lot. And he was a little boy, maybe he was 5, 6 years old, and he had a little book with Gedolim pictures in it. And he had different Gedolim's pictures, and his mother was once going through the book, and she's looking at the different Gedolim in the book. I don't know, maybe the Chavetz Chaim, maybe whoever it might be. And she gets a page in the middle that was completely blank. She says, "Oh, I have to get you another picture. You missed one splat over here." The Gifter says, no. That's for me one day." Little boy, 5, 6 years old. He had she'ifas for greatness. He believes he's supposed to be great. I could be great. He becomes a Gadol Adar. We have to believe in our koichos. Believe how great we are right now in the abilities to change the world. That we're a bas Torah, who has Torah mitzvos at hand. I have the weapons to change what's going on. We have to believe in that in a very real way. So I want to share a little bit of a deep Torah now. B'derech Gematria. If we take the Gematria of Mikatnei Amuna, Mikatnei Amuna is Gematria 305. Now none of us want that. That was Noach. Right? None of us want that. None of us want to be Mikatnei Amuna. None of us want to be that individual who's not believing in their kolchos. So we want to defeat that. We want to defeat the 305. Makanim, we had to defeat 305. You got to be 306. Right? You beat the 305 by going to 306. So 306 is Gematria Dvash. Gematria Dvash. Dvash. Honey. So we've been, literally until now, the Minhag Yisrael is to be using honey. Brought down that the minhag is through Parshas Bereishis. Sorry, this Shabbos not, but till now, from Rosh Hashanah through Parshas Bereishis to be using dvash, using honey. How so? What is honey? So honey, the Torah is compared to honey. The Torah is compared to honey. Honey is symbolic of the sweetness of the Torah. Hamesuka midvash, as we say in Tehillim. Hamesuka midvash. Meaning what? When we're connected to the sweetness of Torah and mitzvos, not just doing it, but believe and understand how sweet and beautiful it is, we could defeat the Mikatnei Amuna. When I understand how sweet and beautiful it is, so then I believe in the koiches of it. And if we do that, you know what we're zoicha to? You know what we're zoicha to? We're zoicha then to Av HaRachamim. We're zoicha to our Father has mercy on us. Av HaRachamim as well, it's exactly Gematria 306. Exactly Gematria Dvash. It defeats the Mikatnei Amuna. So we have to get rid of this mindset that I'm Makatnei Amuna. Get rid of this mindset that what could I do? I'm just sitting here and I could check out Yeshiva World every day. No, we could change the course of what's going on. That's what we could do. Through Torah, through mitzvos, through that sweetest dvash of the Heilige Torah, and that can bring down the Avarachamim into this world. We can't be a Noach. We have to be more like an Avram. We have to uplift the Noach into an Avram. Noach's Gematria 58. Avram's Gematria 248. 248 plus 58 is exactly 306. When Noach's uplifted into an Avram, then he's zoiche to defeat the Makatni Amunah. Be zoiche to understand our koichos. But we'll take it one last step. What holds us back from understanding these koichos? It's our guf. It's our body. What understands its ability to connect Hashem and have Hashpah on this world? It's the neshama. The neshama is a chelek al kamimal. Surely, if we're in touch with our neshama, we understand how we affect the chef of this world because we're so connected to God. So we have to uplift our guf into a neshama. Guf is gematria 89. If you add the Torah of Dvash to the guf, so 306, which is Dvash, plus 89, is exactly 395, which is exactly gematria neshama. When the Dvash is added to our guf, we're zeicha to be a neshama and to have all the koichas in the world to change this world. Hope you all followed all that. But let's take it one step further even. If you look in this Rashi that I've been quoting, it's very strange. I haven't seen anyone speak about this, but I want to just give over my thoughts. When Rashi says that Noach was mekatne amuna, he spells the word amuna, that he had a little bit of amuna, and we're saying it's amuna in himself, he spells the word of amuna, aleph mem nun hey. Aleph mem nun hey. If I would have asked you prior to saying that Rashi, how is amuna spelt, every one of you would have said aleph mem vav nun hey. Now again, we know that nekudos could be with a vav, it could be without, but generally amuna is spelled with a vav. Where is the vav? Why is the vav chaser in Rashi? So I'll tell you what I believe. You know what the vav represents? A vav is a letter that connects. A vav is a letter that brings things together. There are three ways that you can have the gematria of vav. If you spell out vav, if you say out vav. Bemiloi, what's called bemiloi. Like an aleph is aleph lamed pei, right? So vav could be vav, which is 12. Vav aleph vav, which is 13. Or vav yud vav, which is 22. Those are three ways to spell out vav. The Zohar tells us, Yisrael kudshabricha v'raisa chadhi. The Rabban Shalom God, us and the Torah is one. Meaning what? The way that we can connect to God and then have an effect on the world is through Torah. Vav is 12. The 12 Shvatim that make up in Israel. Vav Aleph Vav is 13, which is Gematria Echad, which is Hashem Echad. Vav Yud Vav is 22, which are the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis that make up the Torah. The three Vavs, which a Vav itself represents Chibur, connection, is the Chibur between B'nai Yisrael, Hashem, through the Torah. That's what a Vav represents. And therefore, what is Rashi trying to teach us? He's trying to teach us, you know what was lacking from Noach? You know what was lacking from Noach? It was lacking Torah. It was lacking the connection to Hashem through Torah, and therefore he didn't have the koiches. In fact, Medrashim tell us that Avram Avinu already was given, not given, but Avram Avinu had intuition to keep the Torah. We don't find that by Noach. When you have Torah, you understand that you connect to Hashem in the deepest ways, to have koiches in this world, we must be on others, we must be on the world. Each and every one of us, to follow Torah, to keep Torah, our heart should be connected to Torah, every moment. And it has to be with the lev, with our heart, not just with our mind. You know, the whole Torah is one in the deepest of ways. And I heard a Torah from the Rebbe, Rabbi Spiegel, the Rav Redav in the Astor of Kalashina Rebbe, he said the most beautiful idea. He said that the whole Torah is one, and it's mamish, it's like circular. So if you look at the last letter of the whole Torah, it's Lamed. Le'inei kol Yisrael. Yisrael is the last word, Lamed. What's the first word, and what's the first letter in the whole Torah? Beis, right? So Lamed Beis is Lev. It's our hearts. Rachmano Libavoy. Rabbeinu Shalom wants our heart, right? But listen to this. Mamash is so deep and so special. Hashem's name is Yudke Vavke. There are only two letters in the entire Torah that each of those letters connects to every letter of Yudke Vavke. Lamed. Lamed Yud is Li. Lamed He is Law. Lamed Vav is Lo. Lamed connecting to three letters, because the four letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei are only really three different letters, all make up, could connect, form a word. Bays could be B, Ba, or Bo. No other letter in the entire Aleph Bays could connect to all three and form anything. Meaning what? The Rabbanu Shalom wants that our heart should be connected to Him. How could our heart be connected to Him? How could our lave be connected to the Rabbanu Shalom? Only through Torah and Mitzvos. Every single moment of our life, we should be connected to Torah and Mitzvos. And specifically a time like this, with everything going on in Eretz Yisrael, we want to do something here. We have to believe in our kochos, believe in ourselves, not be chas v'shol mikat ne'amun and sit back and just feel bad for the Yidden Eretz Yisrael, but to do something about it, and to do something beruchnias that has an effect, that has a deep effect, and we have to believe in that effect and the effect that it has on the world. We have no idea. We have no idea how our Torah, our mitzvahs, our tefillos change the world. Let's just end with one story. There's a family, I know the family, connected through different members of the family. Some of you might know the family a little bit. Anyone here learned the Midrashat? Midrashat Moriah? You learned? Any of the Spiros still teach over there? The Spiros? Yeah. Spiro. No. They're not there anymore? They were for many years, a family Spiro that teaches. I was very close with a chaver tov of mine when I was learning Yisrael for many years, very close friend, Yisrael Spiro.
Yeah.
You know Yisrael? Oh, right. He was in Misora back in the day. So his family, might be his parents, I'm not sure. I know it's the Mishpacha. So his family in 1982 had a very bad tragedy. There was a boy, Daniel Haas, who was in Eretz Yisrael serving in the IDF. And it was during the 1982, there was a war with Lebanon, and he was killed. I believe Neve Daniel is named after him, if I'm not mistaken. And he had a sister. He has a sister, Yehudis. Yehudis is married to a man, Moshe Spiro. And at the time when she lost her brother, she was pregnant. And she had a son. And she named the son Daniel, after her brother who was killed. They were living in Cleveland at the time. The Spiro family is from Cleveland. And eventually they made Aliyah. And this boy, Daniel, also went on to serve in the IDF. And it was a Leil Shabbos, a Friday night, and he was out on Shmirah. And that same Friday night when he was out on Shmirah, his mother was home. At about 3:30 in the morning, he had terrible stomach pains. Mamish, terrible stomach pains. He woke up. What does a Jewish woman do when she's in pain on a Leil Shabbos? She takes out a Tillim and she starts saying Tillim. And she's saying Tillim at first for her physical pain, but over time she's saying Tillim, you know how it is, we forget about our physical pain, and of course she starts to think about her children. She's davening for her children and davening specifically as well for Daniel, who she knew was serving in the army at the time, that Hashem should watch over him. And eventually she felt better. Better enough, then she went back to sleep. Monday Shabbos, the phone rings. Moshe picks up the phone. It's Daniel on the phone. He says, Abba, I want to tell you, Mamish Nisim Gluyim, I should be dead right now. He says, last night we're on Shemirah. I'm there with a few of my friends and we're doing Shemirah and suddenly there's a clink on the ground and we look down and there's a grenade right by our feet. And somehow, Nisim Gluyim, Baruch Hashem, it just didn't go off. But moments later, there's another clink. And this grenade's sizzling, it's alive. And of course, we run as quickly as we can, knowing we didn't have enough time, and we're probably going to be blown up within moments. We jump for cover. And again, nothing happens. I have no idea why, Abba, but Nisim Gluyim, I'm alive today. His father says, wow, you have to bench Goma, it's amazing, unbelievable. And then his father says, my son, Daniel, tell me, do you know what time? When was that exact? When did it happen? And Daniel says, yeah, it was right about 3:30 in the morning, 3:40 in the morning. And his father says, Daniel, I have to put your mother in the phone so you could give Vakar Satov to thank your mother for saving your life. Because at 3:30 in the morning, your mother was saying, tell him for you. And Daniel starts crying and gets on the phone with his mother and says, thank you, Mommy, for saving my life. We have no idea how our tefillos, how our Torah, how our mitzvos have an effect on the world and change the world. But we deeply have to believe they do. And in a time of tsaros, in a time of difficulty, of course we have to be empathetic and sympathetic and feel what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. But that's not enough. We have to do it because we have to believe in our koiches to enhance our tefillos, enhance our Torah, enhance our mitzvos. And that tzchus, Bez Hashem is Baruch, Bekarav Mamish, will be zeichet to Yeshua, to refuah for those in need, and geula shleima, b'mehera b'yameinu.